Greetings, radio friends. We are excited to bring to you a new series entitled The Weapons of Our Warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, Paul talks about the fact that we have weapons that God has given us to go and do battle with. And so we want to look at these weapons and see what they are. A lot of times we want to fight with physical weapons, such as fists, or we want to fight with our tongue. But God has given us some powerful weapons to be able to fight this battle that we have to go out and fight every day. As we go through this series, we'll be looking at the Bible as a weapon, prayer as a weapon. Oh, I like this one right here. Praise as a weapon. Do you know that God has given us praise as a weapon? Do you know that you can use the name of Jesus as a weapon? And then here's a powerful one that every believer needs to understand and implement in their lives, and that is the armor of God. That if we understand the armor of God, that will put us way ahead in this battle. I think the reason that a lot of Christians are losing in the battle against the forces of darkness is because they don't know how to appropriate the armor of God. And so we're going to talk about how to use the armor of God as a weapon. And then we'll conclude this series by talking about how to use fasting as a weapon. So why don't you join us each evening, Monday through Friday, as we look at the weapons of our warfare here on the Anchored in Jesus radio program.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze begins a new series titled Weapons of Our Warfare. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the introduction to Weapons of Our Warfare.
We are starting a brand new series today, and the series is entitled The Weapons of Our Warfare. The Weapons of Our Warfare actually comes out of a teaching that I was doing in the spring last year in Bible study, and I just got fixed on. We were doing a series on spiritual warfare, and I just became captivated with this whole idea of the weapons of our warfare, that God has given us weapons to fight in this battle. And we have to ask ourselves the questions: are we taking advantage of the weapons that God has given us? There was a pilot who was flying an airplane. He had three passengers on the plane, and the plane got into trouble and started to go down. And there were three parachutes. And the pilot said, well, you know, I'm the pilot of the plane. You know, I'm going to take one of them. And so he took one of the parachutes and he jumped off. And there was another man. He said, I'm the smartest man in the world. He said, and the world can't do without me. And so he took another one and he jumped off. And so there was one left. And there was a little boy and a man, and they looked at each other and they said to themselves, well, which one is going to take it? And the little boy said, you don't have to worry about anything because the smartest man in the world just took my backpack and jumped off. So he jumped off of the plane without a parachute. He didn't have what he needed. He was trying to land without a parachute. And many of us are like the smartest man in the world. We are trying to fight the battle instead of with a parachute, with a backpack. Instead of us trying to fight the battle with the weapons that God has given us, we have decided that we're going to fight it in our own strength and with our own weapons. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul introduces these weapons of our warfare. He says in chapter 10 and verse 1, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present without that confidence with which I think to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to punish or execute all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul here takes an occasion to inform the believers about a war that they're in. Now, if you go back and read the first 9 chapters of 2 Corinthians, Paul is like, la-di-da, la-di-da, la-di-da. Watch out for this, do this, you'll thank for this, you know, come here, go there. And it's just kind of like a la-di-da attitude. But if you would sit down and read 2 Corinthians in one setting, you would see that chapter 10 takes a whole different turn. That Paul is ratcheting it up a bit. That Paul is turning up the heat. And he's telling us that we need to be suited and booted. Many of us are like the man I saw in the picture. He was going to the war, and he was on the front line. He had on a Hawaiian shirt. He had on flip-flops. He was carrying a lawn chair and drinking some lemonade. He was going on the front line, but he had the wrong equipment. Paul said, it's time for us to suit up. It's time for us to boot up. It's time for us to take the weapons that God has provided to use them as we stand in this battle. Now, as we look at leading up to this passage, and I always like to look at the context, you know, whenever a preacher starts preaching and jumps in a passage, I'm a little leery sometimes because I'm wondering if he's taking that verse out of context, because a context without a pretext, or let's go back, a text without a context is just a pretext. All right, so you got to have some context. So let's go back to chapter 10. So I've already given you the context of the book. It's kind of like a laissez-faire attitude the first 9 chapters, but now he picks it up in chapter 10. So let's look at chapter 10 and verse 1. And here we see that there were false teachers in the church. And so this is why Paul turns up the heat. There are false teachers, and these false teachers in the church, they make 2 accusations against the Apostle Paul. 2 accusations. The first accusation, they accused him that when he was in their presence, he was like all meek and mild and bashful and shy, you know, putting his hand over his head and really not wanting to speak to him. But whenever he left and he wrote him a letter, they said, this guy's bold as a lion. How come he don't have the same boldness when he's face to face? There must be something wrong with this guy. And so they criticized Paul because they said that when he was in their presence, he was like a lamb. But when he left, he was like a lion. And so you'll see that in verse 1. Look at what it says here. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And this is what they're saying, who in presence am base among you, that I humble myself, but being absent, I am bold towards you. So here the accusation is made. In their presence, he was humble and meek, but when he left, he was bold. Now look at the second accusation that they make about Paul. And that is, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that confidence with which I think to be bold against some. So he said, you know, some of you guys think that I'm bold when I'm not with you and humble when I'm with you. He said, man, I'm the same, whatever. So if I'm in your presence, I'm going to be bold. If I'm away from you, I'm going to be bold. But it's just these false teachers were trying to tell these people this, and they were trying to sell them the Kool-Aid. Paul said, I'm the same whether I'm present or whether I'm absent. But then he looked at the second accusation that they make against him. They said, who think as us as if we walked according to the flesh. Paul said, there are some here that think that are actually accusing me of walking according to the flesh. And so Paul
takes that occasion. He takes advantage of this to talk about this war that we're in. And so he goes into verse 3 and he says, hey, we might be walking in the flesh. Now, they were saying that Paul was walking after the flesh, that he was doing fleshly things, that he was living for the flesh. And Paul says that we might be walking according to the flesh, or we might be walking in the flesh. But hey, look at this. We're not warring in the flesh. He said that we might be in this world. We might be walking around in this world. We might be walking in the flesh, but we are in a war. And that in this war, we need to realize that this is a battlefield. Look at that word there, war, in verse 3. This word means hand-to-hand combat. It means to pick up a sword. It was used on many occasions of someone picking up a sword and doing battle. Paul said that even though we live in this world, even though we walk according to this world, even though we are in the midst of this world, and you see, what did they accuse Paul of? Look back at verse 3 or verse 2. They accused him of walking according to the flesh. But look, when Paul addresses them back, he says, look, this is not a walk, but it's a what? It's a war. That we are in a war. And where is this war? There's three observations about this war that I want to make. The first observation, it is for the mind. Now, you say, well, where do you get that from? And I'm going to bring this out a little bit later. But as we go down, we see in verse 5, look at the words that he uses. Casting down what? Imaginations. Where is that? In the mind. Look what he says. And exalted, and every high thing that exalteth itself against what? The knowledge. Where is that at? In the mind. And bringing into captivity every thought. First and foremost, the battle starts in the mind. The battle is won or lost in the mind. If you're losing in the battle right now, you've already lost it in your mind. The mind is very, very important. I just thought about all the things that have been said about the mind. Curtis Mayfield, he said, why don't you check out your mind? The Delphonics said, didn't I blow you? Didn't I blow your mind? The commercial said, the mind is a terrible thing to. All right. Your mother or father said, you are driving me out of a. My dad used to tell me, fool, are you losing your. I asked my wife the other day, was she tired? Were her legs tired? And eventually she said she was dealing with some stuff, and she said no. And I said, that's funny, because you've been running through my mind all morning. George Clinton said, no, he's. Somebody said, why don't you make up your mind? The mind is a powerful medium. It's a powerful thing. And so Paul lets us know where the battlefield at. Where's the battlefield at? It's not a human battlefield that we're fighting, but the battle is in the mind. Secondly, the battle is everywhere. Notice what he says. Let me go back to verse 3. For though we are walk. Now, this word walk, for though we walk, is a participle. And what does it mean? It means that we are walking what? Around. Though we are walking around. What is that telling us? That's telling us that as we are walking around, everywhere. Everywhere we go, we are in the battle. If I'm sitting at home watching my television, there's something that's trying to get my mind. If I'm driving to work and listen to the radio, there's something that's trying to get my mind. If there's billboards with signs up on them, it's trying to get my mind. The politicians that are on TV, they're not trying to get your vote, because they can't get your vote until they what? Get your mind. Until they get your mind. So we need to see how powerful this is. And so everything that we deal with is either doing one or two things. It's either attacking our mind or it's pulling on our mind. Everything. You know, your body. Your body is nothing. You take all that time, you know, to do this and do this and take care of it. Your body is nothing. Without what? Without your mind, without your person, without your soul. Because it's your what? It's your mind that's disciplined. It's not your body that's disciplined. Your body is not disciplined. Your body is going to do whatever your mind tells it to do. And so we realize that the battle is in the mind. The battle is everywhere we go. I'm battling for your mind right now, right? Because some of y'all already at the restaurant, right? Your mind is already there. Some of y'all already I left something in the oven at home. So I'm battling for your mind right now. I'm trying to get your mind so that I can, as we want to see, get it submitted to the word of God. You know, where's your mind at right now? Are you listening to the preacher this morning? Or is your mind somewhere else? I remember one time I was getting ready to go on vacation. And I was in a meeting, and I was useless in this meeting, because you know why? In my mind, I was already, somebody said it. In my mind, I was already on vacation. It was just a matter of me getting in my car and clocking out, right? I was already gone. And so we see that there's things that battle for our mind, and that these things that battle for our mind are daily. Every day, 24 hours. Just think about this. As soon as you get up, there's something that's battling for your mind. And what is it that's battling? What you going to do? You going to do this? You going to do that? Or you going to keep laying there? Something is battling for your mind. And I'm going to put it like this. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, our minds are constantly being bombarded with things from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the problem is, some of us are fighting this battle ill-equipped. Notice what he identifies in verse 3, the battlefield. This is the battlefield. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The battlefield is in the spirit. It's in the mind. I was reading some commentaries in preparation for the sermon today, and I was reading John MacArthur, and he was talking about how that sometimes Christians are ill-equipped for the battle. So I just want to ask you right now, if you think about, I don't want anybody to say anything out loud, but, you know, basically, we're going to be looking at seven weapons of our warfare, seven of them, all right? So I just want you to stop right now and ask yourself the question, how many of them do I know? How many weapons, if Pastor Glaze said that there's seven, how many of them can I identify right now? And the ones that you would identify, would they be the right ones? So if you can only, I know somebody always, the first one, let me give you the easy one. Let me give you two easy ones, right? The Bible and prayer, right? Y'all got them right. If you didn't, you need to give your salvation card back. All right? You got those. But now we're going to talk about five more. So if you don't know what they are, or if you got one or two more down, you need to have all of them. Why? Because if not, you are ill-equipped. You are not using all the resources that God has made available for you in this battle. So MacArthur, he talks about the Battle of Little Bighorn and how that Custer took 210 men to fight against Sioux and Cheyenne warriors. And that when Custer, you know, went up the hill and he started to charge down, he was not prepared for what he saw on the other side. And he actually led his men into a massacre. And why is that? Because he was not equipped. He was not prepared. And if you are going out here day after day after day and you are not using the weapons of your warfare, then you are not prepared. He also gave the illustration about how when the Germans invaded Poland and they went in with tanks and, you know, armored cars, vehicles and bazookas and grenades and everything else, and how the Polish people came out and they were fighting against the Germans with swords and lances, and how the Germans, they didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance. The Germans just wiped them out. And why is this? Because they were ill-equipped to fight the battle. And so we want to prepare you to fight this battle. And so what are the weapons for our battle? And I'm just going to be general today. I'm going to be more specific as we go along. First of all, what are they not? He doesn't start off by telling us what they are. He starts off by telling us what they're not. Look what he says in verse 4. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not carnal. This word carnal comes from a word that means fleshly. As a matter of fact, it means the animal nature. This when it's purely flesh. And the weapons that God has given us to fight are not fleshly. They're not ordained by man. They're not empowered by man. And they can't be used in the battle to be victorious by man. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not worldly. And yet and still, we fight with worldly weapons all the time. If you put up that next slide. I began to sit down and think. Man fights opposition with what? Resistance. When somebody opposes you, what's the first thing that you do? You resist. How does man fight resistance? With force. You're going to resist, and I'm going to what? I'm going to overpower you. Then, when people can't use force to fight, what do they begin to do? They sit down and what? Develop what? Human strategies. So you see, this is how man fights these battles that we're in. Opposition, resistance. Resistance, force. Human strategies. Well, you got a human strategy now that you're coming against my force with. So now I'm going to come up and I'm going to do some studying and I'm going to come up with a well-reasoned philosophy to fight back. So somebody comes up with ingenuity, right? Well, I'll invent something that will outsmart and be bigger and better and more stronger than your well-reasoned philosophy. And then, what do we use to fight ingenuity with? Whatever the latest and greatest.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the introduction to Weapons of Our Warfare. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, The Introduction to Weapons of Our Warfare, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Introduction to Weapons of Our Warfare. Again, that's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Introduction to Weapons of Our Warfare. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire series, Weapons of Our Warfare. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.